You know, I had mixed emotions on that. You know, some folks said, no, don't stop. Others said, yeah, get off of that. Amen. Giving me a complex nightmares here. But no, we're moving off of the demon study and moving on in the chapter to fresher and greener waters. The time that we did the study, I do pray it was profitable and that you learned some things and were able to glean a few things from that. But it's amazing. We're coming off of this area of the demons, and verse 16 ended like this. And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them. So they fled out of that house naked and wounded. What do you think the next logical outcome would be after verse 16? You know, you're seeing some guys try to cast out a spirit, and then all of a sudden, they get beat up by the guy who is possessed. Seven of them get beat up. What do you think the next logical outcome would be if you didn't know the rest of the story? Jira? Yeah, now, see, he's thinking like me. My thought was, you know, Paul would step in there and say, okay, y'all can't do it, but I can. But that doesn't happen. Don't you find that kind of odd? That Paul doesn't come in there and cast out the demon. It kind of just, you know, ends there and, you know, goes to another story. Did anybody find that strange? Everybody afraid? Anybody else, did that kind of strike you as odd that Paul didn't step in there and say, I can do this? You know, because he had just done it, you know, a while back. I found that kind of odd. And nobody else found that odd? Y'all just like, yeah, you know, praise the Lord. Yeah. Y'all didn't find that odd? I'm like Jeremiah. I'm like, wait a minute. Paul's supposed to save the day here. Now, what about the poor guy who's got the demon? He's still running around here. So maybe he got his demon cast out. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But, you know, that's why we didn't write the story. Amen. All right. Yes. Brother Shirk. And that's a possibility. That's a possibility. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I was just kind of at a, like, What happened to the poor man? Is he still possessed running around somewhere? You know, you would hope not, amen. But let's go ahead and turn to our Bibles. Acts 19, let's go ahead and stand. And we're going to read down to verse number 20 and talk about a few things here and get the rest of the story. Because like I say, it did catch me by surprise that Paul did not step in and save the day and deliver, you know, the demon-possessed man from his woes. And we don't know, he might have. We just don't have that account here. All right, so we're going to read verse 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20, because now this is the outcome, which is not the outcome that I would have expected. All right, read with me starting in verse 16. And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which use curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Amen. So I would not have expected that type of an ending. Maybe you would have. Amen. I didn't. But I expected Paul to come in and save the day, and it was going to change. But anyway, Father, thank you now for what we have done in uncovering some things about this chapter and what the sons of Sceva has happened to them. And Lord, the study on the biblical demonology and how real it really is, and it is here. We must deal with it because it's a part of everyday life. We may be not exposed to it as much because we don't recognize it as such. But Lord, it is still just as real here every day in our lives. Lord, I pray now that you bless and our study tonight. Help us to glean a blessing from your word. We may take home something that we can challenge our own hearts with. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. You may be seated. So we're calling these next few verses magnifying through the mess. magnifying through the mess. What happened here? The sons of Sceva just came in here and made a mess out of things. I mean, they did. They tried to imitate Paul and just made a mess out of things here. You know, coming down here, chapter number 19. And by the way, going back to chapter 19, you find the final group into the New Testament local church added in, which was John's disciples. Who were the other three of the four groups that needed to be brought in to the local New Testament church? We know John's disciples is the last group. Yes? Well, Greeks or Gentiles, right? Gentiles, Samaritans, John's disciples. One more group. Who's the other group?
The Jews.
Jews were in chapter 2. Samaritans came in chapter 4, I believe it was. And then chapter 10 came to Gentiles. Now 19 comes John's disciples. So now effectively those that were practicing Judaism in any kind of way have now been bought in. And then the Gentiles now have been bought into the local church under the umbrella of the Holy Spirit of God to form local independent churches throughout. And so everyone that needed to be bought in that was practicing another way has now been identified and bought in, whether it's a Jew, whether it's a Samaritan, whether it's a Gentile, and now John's disciples, now they have been bought into the local church effectively, and now they can minister together. So those were the groups. By the way, what do you find decreasing from this point on? Miracles. You find miracles becoming less and less and less. Why? They're not needed anymore. The canon of scripture is coming to a conclusion and coming to a closure. Conclusion. I'm trying to say closure and conclusion at the same time. A conclosure. And so that's coming to a closure. Paul is going to send back a bunch of letters or epistles to these local churches. Hence, we get Romans and Corinthians and Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, all these young churches getting started. Paul sends them back letters to not maximize miracles, but to say now miracles are decreasing, teaching and doctrine needs to increase. You need to know what to do now that you've been validated by the miracles of the Spirit of God. And so that's what's going on here thus far. So last group has gone in here and they're there, and that's the John's disciples. And so here we go. Amen. By the way, we come down here and the first thing, we're going to look at three basic things here in these verses. There was a magnification of the Lord, there was salvation of the lost, and there was elimination of the litter. So let's look at this first point here. There was magnification of the Lord. Verse 17 says this was known to all the Jews and the Greeks also dwelling in Ephesus. So basically, everybody in this area found out what happened to the sons of Sceva and how this evil spirit beat him up and sent them out of the house bleeding and naked. And it says, and fear fell on them all. Now, if you heard of something like that, would you be afraid? Now, why would you be afraid? Demon was powerful. Amen. Why else? Why else would we be afraid for something like this? It says, according to the Bible, it says, and fear fell on all. Why would they be afraid? Jeremiah? They didn't want the demon to come in their house and tear them up? That's possibly. Amen. Serge? So these are some important people. These are some important people. So what you find here now, they saw what happened to the sons of Sceva, and they were supposed to be somebody. Paul walked in town. Paul was supposed to be nobody. So nobody got the job done, and somebody couldn't get the job done. So they obviously are noticing there's a difference in what the sons of Sceva said they had and what Paul demonstrated that he did have. And so as a result of that, the fear is going to come, because if what Paul is saying is true, we are in trouble if we don't get right. Yep. If what Paul, who is the nobody, has said is right, and look what he did, and what sons of Sceva tried to do didn't work, that means they're pretenders, and he's actually a professor. He's real. And so they looked at this thing, and they had to come to the conclusion, if what he says is true, woe is me. And we saw it must be true, because the sons of Sceva could not do it. And so fear came on all of them. You know, and by the way, when you look at this, there's the difference between Paul and the pretenders. And I still go back to my cousin when I came home witnessing to him back in Joliet. And his main thing was Greg and Carmen are saved for real. And I mean, that was the main thing. They're saved for real. Like if there is a non for real saving. Amen. You're either saved or you're lost. Amen. Folks were either sons of Sceva's or they're going to be real like Paul. Amen. And so we were real. And so he just made much of that. Look at them. They're saved for real. Now, people don't do what y'all do. You know, people don't read their Bibles and go to church and try to get people, other people saved. He said, no, people don't do that. He said, they babble and foam at the mouth and fall out. I mean, they don't do what y'all do. Y'all just take the Bible and y'all just talking plain. These other folks, he said, they work themselves up into a frenzy and fall out and do crazy stuff. He said, y'all haven't done any of that stuff yet. So y'all must be saved for real. And you know what? He wanted what we had. Go figure. Amen. So there was a magnification of the Lord here. When the Jews and the Greeks saw what happened, they understood that Paul was for real and they feared or reverenced the power of God. They knew that if what Paul is saying is true, and it is, we're in trouble and we need to do something. Amen. And so something happens. By the way, this also took place in another place. Y'all remember the other place it took place earlier in Acts? Anybody remember? Go back to Acts chapter number 5. Who's in Acts chapter 5? Who is that? Who's in Acts chapter 5? Anybody remember? Ananias and Sapphira. And pick it up with me down here in verse number 1. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira's wife sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? And whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down, gave up the ghost, and great fear came on what? All them that heard these things. They said, ho, 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 ho. You mean tell me Peter can just come in here and know the intents of somebody's heart? And if they lie, they're going to drop dead? Don't you see people avoiding Peter like the plague? What if he asked me a question I don't want to answer? I plead the Fifth Amendment on that one. I don't want to answer that on the case I may fall down. And the young men arose, wound him up and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours when his wife, knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. And Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young man came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. They said, our job is never done. Amen. Verse 11, and great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Why? They saw what happened. They said, this is for real. You fast forward to chapter 19. They saw what happened to Paul. They saw the sons of Sceva. They said, this is for real. And if what Paul is saying is for real, which it is, we are in trouble because we are like the sons of Sceva. We have things that we're doing and practicing that's not right. So come back over to Acts chapter number 19. By the way, what would you do if you had been in that service with Peter and Ananias and Sapphira? What do you want to know, Peter? I'll tell the truth. Yeah. What do you want to know? I don't care how bad it's going to make me look. I'll tell the truth. It's that or either get fall dead. Amen. Fast forward back over to 19. Because if you look at it, what did that do for the church in Acts chapter 5? It built it up. It cleared out the foolishness. People started getting right with God. They stopped pretending and start being what they were and not what they were not. And so it actually purified the church and purged the church and made the church stronger and better. By the way, that's what revival meetings do as well. Speakers come in, they challenge us in things of the gospel and purify the church and rid sin out by God's grace and God's power. So Jesus was magnified because the sons of Sceva were exposed as frauds, and the miracles God did through Paul were validated. What can we learn from that verse there? When we truly stand for Jesus, his works will be seen in us like they were in Paul. People got saved. People were served. And then they were also satisfied and they surrendered their goods, as we're going to see here in a few minutes. So there's magnification of the Lord. Many good things happen just because the sons of Sceva tried to do something they had no power, had no business trying to do. And God said, oh, you want to try that? Oh, okay, here we go. Amen. And so he let the devil have his way on them, but then the power of God took control right afterwards. Amen. So we see the magnification of the Lord. Notice, second of all, there was salvation of the lost. Notice verse number 18. Many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. There was salvation of the lost. When this happened, something happened and something took place. Salvation was shown in their lives by them coming. Notice what it says. Many that believed. And what did these believers do? They came. What does the Bible say in Romans 10:10? With a heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And what does it say after that? And with the mouth, what? Confession is made unto salvation. What does it say here? These people came, they believed, and then they did some confessing and some showing. So we see something here. There was some salvation in the lost. The salvation was shown in their lives by them coming. Many that came believed. They made their presence known with the disciples and the assembling of the saints. The salvation was shown in their lives by confessing. It says they made confession. They confessed and then they showed their deeds. Salvation was shown in their lives by them coming clean. In other words, it went like this. They came. They believed on the Lord Jesus Christ based upon what Paul had just said and done previously. And they said, you know, because we believe, we're coming to you, Paul. And we're not just coming to you, Paul. We're going to confess that we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're going to show you what we've been doing. We've been doing exactly what the sons of Sceva have been doing. And we don't want that to happen to us. That's bad. That's real bad. They were perpetrating. We had the same stuff going on in our lives. We believe and we're going to come and confess to you that we were like that. And we're going to show you, by the way, show and tell. When a person gets saved, there should be some show and tell. They should say, look, I used to be like this. Now I'm like that. There should be some serious show and tell. I was this way, but now I'm different. Amen. They came. They believe. They confess. They show. Those that believe came clean, acknowledged their sin by openly showing the practices they were involved in. By the way, Ephesians 2:10 says this. Just left me there. And by grace, I used to say, I got to get the whole thing. Oh, for we are his workmanship, created unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. We're created unto good works. So now, did they get saved by doing these deeds or these works? No, they're saying, look, because I'm saved, I'm showing you my deeds. Because I'm saved, I'm showing you this stuff that we used to do is worthless. This stuff that we used to have a part of is no good. This stuff that we were doing is just like the sons of Sceva. We saw what happened to them. We don't want it to happen to us. That's it. Now, I don't know about your life, but that's how it was in my life. I came, I believed, I came, I showed, and I said, look, this is me. And every time the preacher said, I said, man, that's something else I got to get rid of. That's something else I got to confess. And there's something else I got to show that I did wrong. Man, I did this. I told y'all the thing about the Easter. We had gotten saved February 3rd, and then we came back on Easter Sunday of all days. And we had the little Easter basket for Pastor Bennett with an egg in it. And he preached on the Easter bunny and eggs. What do you think happened to that Easter basket? We left it under that pew. We got out of there. We came to confess. We believe in Easter. And we showed our deeds. Here's an Easter basket. And he said, ain't no such thing as Easter bunny. When did bunny start laying eggs? We tucked that thing as far back under that pew as we could. And we got out of there. Hope nobody would find it until the next Easter. Amen. Years later, I asked Pastor, I said, did y'all ever find some eggs back there underneath that seat in a little Easter basket? I'm glad we didn't put two pastors from the Dawsons on it. Amen. What happened? We believed and we came and we confessed, showed our deeds. We said, man, this is not right. Amen. The stuff that we're doing is not happening. This is all wrong. Amen. I mean, we had Santa Claus and all that. Every time a holiday came up, Pastor just blew our holidays out the water. Amen. I'm like, man, we couldn't do Santa Claus no more. I mean, we ho, ho, ho. I'm like, man, what's wrong with the Santa Claus? Now, you didn't just kick Santa Claus off the chimney. Now, we had the Easter bunny over here. Then you kicked him away. I thought, man, we ain't got no Easter left. No, we got no Christmas left. Amen. But I started learning the word of God and said, you know, none of that's got nothing to do with Easter anyway. None of that's got nothing to do with the Christmas anyway. Amen. I wasn't raised that way. I was raised with Jesus and Santa. Only we like Santa more. He gave us stuff that we liked. Amen. Come on, kids. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Amen. We like the Easter Bunny. He gave us jelly beans. Jesus didn't give us jelly beans. Amen. And so, you know, as a kid, you're going to like the ones going to give you the most stuff. And then I got old and Pastor Bennett just destroyed all of my fabled heroes. Yeah, Tooth Fairy. We didn't do much with the Tooth Fairy. Amen. But I did like to get my quarters under my pillow, though. Amen. But anyway, so... And so he says, many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. They saw what happened. What we're talking about here, magnification, magnifying through the mess here. There was a magnification of the Lord. There was a salvation of the lost here. These people came openly and showed what they were doing. Amen. By the way, you don't get saved by your works, but you should show your good works. Amen. By the way, what can we learn from this? If we say we believe, it will and should be manifested by some regular attendance. Notice it says they came. It should be shown by public and private confession of sin when needed. It said they confessed. It should come with coming clean. They showed their deeds. They were upfront and open about what they used to do and what they didn't intend to do anymore. They said, look, this is what we used to do. We ain't doing this no more. We're not doing this anymore. Amen. So you see three things there. They came, they confessed, and they showed their deeds. They came clean. Amen. By the way, notice what it picks up with in verse number 19. So there was salvation of the lost, and they showed it by their lives right there. But then there was thirdly, there was elimination of the litter. Elimination of the litter, verse 19. Many of them also, which used curious arts, bought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. These guys here, by the way, are coming here and saying, you know what? We used to be involved in the same stuff like the sons of Sceva, some curious arts and magical spells and incantations and stuff. We're not going to do that. By the way, should a guy that's involved in selling drugs continue selling drugs after he's saved? No. Should a guy that's hooked up on pornography continue in pornography after he's saved? No. Should the person selling liquor continue to sell liquor after they're saved? No. Whatever the sin is that's anti or contrary to God's word, when I get saved, I should get rid of that. Can I get an amen? I don't know about you guys, but they burnt this stuff. They got rid of this stuff. I mean, hey, cigarettes. I mean, whatever it is, liquor, drugs, you know, whatever it is that you had should have been gone. Music, movies, magazines, whatever it was. If it was not glorifying to God, if it was bringing you down, if it was that which you use in your own life, you should get rid of that. You should get rid of that. If it's not bringing you any glory, you should get rid of it. Amen. Bringing God glory, I should say, not you. Amen. You don't need no glory. There was elimination of the litter. The curious arts they're talking about here is talking about being busybodies or going beyond the normal, getting involved in people's lives in a way that they ought not be, with magical spells and incantations and things of that nature. And so these curious arts they were doing was dabbling in other people's lives and getting other people enslaved and ensnared in things with the spiritual realm. But it backfired on the sons of Sceva. And these people came and said, you know what, we don't want that to happen to us. Can you take this away from us? We don't want this anymore. We used to do this, and we used to profit from this. We used to do some things with this, but can you just, let's do something. By the way, Adolf Hitler had burning of books back in his days. Some Bibles he burned as well. Some countries do burn Bibles to show you how against God they are. But guess what? It's still the best-selling book in America. Still the best-selling book in the world. Still the bestseller. You can't outsell it. Still the most copies made of it. They showed that their sincerity by bringing and burning the trash they had been involved with and had made money from it in the past. By the way, this is not half-heartedness. This is wholeheartedness. How many of y'all of the persuasion you're either in or you're out? There's just some folks like that. What I'm going to do, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to go all out. And those folks normally say, it's either in or out. I'm all or nothing. I'm with it. You know, not everybody's like that. Some folks say, well, you know, let me just ease on into this. You know, let me ease on into this. You know, when it came to my liquor, you know, I had to just throw that stuff out. I had to throw it out. You know, when it came to my cigarettes, I had to just throw it out. When it came to my drugs, I had to just get rid of it. But then came my music. Ooh. Ooh. I was a DJ. I was on the radio. I had every record you could probably think of. For you young folks, that's like CD, MP3. I had everything. I mean, I had crates upon crates, and I DJed in college at the dances. I DJed on the radio. And then God said, "Get rid of that." I'm like, ooh. But the rest of the stuff, I burnt that. Get rid of it. Chuck it. Then I had some movies. My wife said, "You need to get rid of it. You need to get off my back and leave me alone. You get rid of yours. You leave my stuff alone. I ain't been convicted in that area yet. And you ain't my Holy Spirit. Leave me alone." She's like, "Well, I got to live here. What if God brings down the wrath of God? Will he bring it down on this half over here where I'm standing at? Amen." Don't tempt God. Amen. I said, "Look, you leave my movies alone and you leave my music alone. Don't you touch it. You get rid of yours." Well, she didn't have any to get rid of because I had it all. Amen. And when God finally did convict me on that, man, I tell you what, I got all that stuff and bagged it up and threw it out in the trash. You know, and I had people say, "Well, why didn't you sell it? You could have made big money on that." And I could have. "Why didn't you give your liquor to somebody? You could have made money off that." And I could have. But why am I going to give to somebody that which is detrimental to me? Why am I going to give somebody else my sin? That's like leading somebody and getting them drunk. I mean, you're just as guilty. You're giving them your vice. Now it's theirs. So notice what happens here. They were not half-hearted here. They were all in. They bought their books together. Notice what it says here in verse 19. "Many of them also, which use curious arts, bought their books together." So now they all that were dabbling in this, they gathered what they used to dabble in and bought it together. And notice this as well. "And burned them before all men." Now let's pause there. They bought them together. So they're all in this. But then they burned them before all. What's the significance in that? Jeremiah? It's a witness. They openly practice this foolishness. And now they're going to publicly get rid of this stuff. Because I publicly practice this, I'm going to publicly get rid of this to let you know whose side I'm on. Who's on the Lord's side? We are. We're going to burn this stuff. We're not like we used to be. So, because if they didn't do that, what would people think? Well, not so much a hypocrite. They're not for real. There was no change. How am I to know that you even changed? How am I supposed to know you even got saved? Because there was nothing that I saw that signified you getting changed. But when a life changes and a lifestyle changes and a mentality changes and things change, people can say, "Hey, they saved for real," like my cousin said. Why? I saw you burning your books and I saw you burning the curious art that you used to use publicly to cast spells and incantations and get involved. I saw that. So you really got saved. Yeah, I sure did. But if I don't do that, people will come knocking at my door. "Can we have a seance today? You know, can we get them tarot cards working? Can we get the Ouija board out? Didn't you see me burn all that stuff over there?" No, I didn't see you burn that. I did, publicly, to let people know I got saved. That doesn't go with a saved man anymore. I did business with that. Hey, I'll tell you something. Ouija boards, tarot cards, video games, music, movies, whatever it is that you know is not right by God. Yeah, burn it, get rid of it, toss it. Magazines, movies, media, get rid of it. How many of y'all saw that Fireproof? That guy watching the pornography on that PC? What did he do to that PC? He baseball batted that thing. I mean, he gave Babe Ruth a run for his money. I mean, he was swinging at that thing. Why? That was a vice to him. And he said, "Look, I'm getting rid of this." He says, "I can't control it. And because I can't control it, I'm getting rid of it because it controls me." By the way, that's the thought. If it's going to control you, you better get rid of it. Because if you can't control it, you better get rid of it. Amen. I could not control alcohol. I could not. That's why I would drink and I would drink and I would drink and I would drink until I passed out. Because I don't care how I tried to moderate it. I don't care how I tried to control it. I don't care how I tried to measure it out. It always ended up getting the best of me in every situation because I couldn't control it. And I said, "Lord, you got to take this away from me." And he said, "I will." And when he did, I threw it all out. And guess what? It doesn't control me anymore. Hey, but wait a minute. All it takes is for one drink, and I could be hooked right back into it again. For the drug addict, all it takes is one sniff of cocaine, or one a line of meth, or crystal meth, or one marijuana joint, or whatever it may be. All it takes is one. And I'm right back into that rut. That's why the Bible says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Get rid of it. They burned it. They said, look, I'm burning this stuff. I'm getting rid of it. I'm showing you. I'm going to bring them together. I'm going to burn them so that everybody can see publicly that I'm different. I'm going to publicly put away this stuff as a witness. And so that's what we had to do. What can we learn from this? Don't give away your sin to someone else. Get rid of it. Amen. By the way, if it did not help you glorify God, what makes you think it's going to help the next person? Let's look at a couple of verses of scripture here. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 21. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 21. And in 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 21, David's kingdom is being established here. And notice verse 20, David came down to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there and said, the Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me as the breach of waters. Therefore he called the name of that place Baal Perazim. And notice verse 21, and there they left their images, and David and his men did what? Burn them. He could have said, you know what? Let's take these images, take them into town. Let's sell them, make some money. I can put it in the kingdom. Couldn't he have done that? Yes. But what did he say? Burn it. Why? Years ago, God had told them, when you get into the land, destroy the stuff. Burn the stuff. Get rid of the stuff. He said, because you're going to inquire how they tried to worship their gods, you're going to find yourself doing the same thing. Get rid of it. Why give my sin to someone else? They'll inquire about my sin, and they'll get involved in my sin, and they'll be caught in my sin. And so I've got to get rid of my sin and burn it. Get rid of it. Destroy it, because somebody else can get hooked. Show you another area here. 2 Kings chapter 10 and verse 26. 2 Kings chapter 10. In verse 26. And so these guys over here, the Ephesians and the Jews, are following suit in this. Ephesians, I'm sorry, 2 Kings chapter 10 and verse 26 here. And again, Jehu's destroying the Baal worship here. And notice what it says up there in verse 25. And it came to pass, as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, that Jehu said to the guard and to the captains, go in and slay them, let none come forth. And they smote them with the edge of the sword, and the guard and the captains cast them out and went to the city of the house of Baal. And they brought forth the images of the house of Baal and did what to them? Burn them and break down the image of Baal and break down the house of Baal and made it a draught house until this day. What'd they do? They burned it. They didn't give it to the neighboring city. They didn't try to melt it down into gold. They said, look, let's burn it and get rid of it. Show you another one here, 2 Kings chapter 23. What am I saying here? The Old Testament had a good track record in regards to things like this. 2 Kings 23, verse number 4. Matter of fact, notice verse number 2. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in the ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by a pillar, made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of the covenant that were written. That's not the one that I wanted. Is it four? Oh, hey, there you go, four. I didn't. Yeah. And the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest and the priests of the second order and the keepers of the door to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal. Now, wait a minute. It shouldn't have been in there in the first place. That stuff shouldn't have been in the house of the Lord in the first place. Can I get an amen? Amen. Come on now. Certain things shouldn't be in our houses. Come on now. Certain things shouldn't be in our houses. You need to get rid of it. They had a time here when they said, let's clean house. You got spring cleaning, you better get some fall cleaning. Some things should not be, get it and get it out. I remember my children bought home one of these, I forget what it was. It was some bracelet thing or something like that with a cross of Nero on it. And my children know what the cross of Nero is. And it's the upside down peace sign with the arms broken down with his making a mockery of Christ. And so one of my kids bought that home and they said, well, can I keep it? We said, well, you know what this is. Well, yeah, but can I keep it? Why do you want to keep it when you know what this is? Well, but so-and-so gave this to me, and they're my friend. I said, yeah, they can be your friend, but notice what this stands for. I said, do you really want to keep this? Well, I guess not. Why keep it when you know what it stands for? like bringing a tarot card home. Well, just a souvenir. You know, my sister, bless her heart, she means well. She went to Cuba. What is Cuba known for? Cigars. Well, yeah, cigars. She sent me a cigar from Cuba. But you know, I'm not going to smoke this, and I'm not going to keep it around the house. I hate that you wasted that money on this, but it's getting chucked. I'm chucking the cigar. I don't care if Smito Castro does that kind of, it's getting chucked. I don't do that anymore. I'm going to publicly get rid of it. You know, my kid said, Dad, what is that? That is your auntie's foolishness. No, I didn't say that. I said, this is what they call a cigar. They said, what is it? I said, it's like a big cigarette. I said, it's just as nasty and just as filthy as a small cigarette. It's just got no filter on it. It's a lot worse. I said, so I'm not going to keep this. We're going to throw this in the garbage. Auntie means well. Bless her heart. It's a souvenir from her. I said, but you know, I said, we're going to get rid of this. Certain things just got to go. Certain things got to go. You know, sometimes explanation is necessary. Sometimes explanation is not. By the way, I said it once. I'll say it again. Whatever your children have, you're free game to go and take it. And explain to them why you're getting rid of it. Amen. Hey, if we would do more of that, we'd have less of children on things that they ought not be hooked on. And well, why? Because of X, Y, and Z. Sometimes you don't even have to give a why. Because I said so. Because I said so. Children obey your parents. The Lord still works. It still works. Amen. So they burned this stuff. They didn't give this stuff to somebody else. It says they brought this forth out of the temple of the Lord. All the vessels that were made for Baal and for the grove and for all the hosts of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. And so they burned these things. So you find that over and over again here in the Old Testament. One last one, 1 Chronicles 14:12. 1 Chronicles 14:12. Children of Israel had an unusual ability to keep bringing these things back. And when one king bought it back, what did the next king have to find himself doing? Burning it, getting rid of it. Another king bring it back in there. What did the next king had to burn it and get rid of it? Back and forth. Back. Finally, God said, look, I'm tired of this. You guys are going into captivity. That's it. You want to worship God? Let me send you to Babylon where you'll be around all the gods that you desire. And you are not going to like it. And they didn't. 1 Chronicles 14:12. Who's got that? Read that for me. I'm not there yet. Katie? Burn with fire. So the Old Testament guys knew to do that. They just didn't do it all the time. Coming back over here to our New Testament counterpart here, chapter 19 of Acts, as we prepare to close here. So what can we learn from this? You know, if it's not going to help me glorify God and God is not for it and God's against it, then I need to let it go. I need to get rid of it. I need to burn it. I need to toss it. Whatever I need to do to make it disappear, get rid of it. Because the Old Testament saints had the same idea going on. Amen. And so Acts chapter 19, notice what it says down there in verse number 19. Many of them also, which used curious hearts, bought their books together, burned them before all men. They counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. And I don't know how much of your stuff that you got rid of when you got saved, but if I counted the price of some of the stuff that I got rid of, ooh, hefty, hefty, hefty. Hefty, hefty, hefty. It just shows you how much money I spent on sin. You know, in Belgium, they have what's called the sin tax. Well, they don't call it a sin tax, but it's known as the sin tax. Y'all have that over in England, brother, the sin tax. They call it the cigarette tax and the liquor tax. VAT, amen. They call it a sin tax over in Belgium, the common folk, because they tax their liquor and they tax their cigarettes. So they said it's my sin tax, amen. So you know, certain things you just have to get rid of here. And don't know how much money this amounts to today, but I assure you it's something good. Notice verse 20, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. With all that said, the devil, using the sons of Sceva, brought down godly fear on the people when they saw that Paul was not a perpetrator, but he was the real thing. And as a result, they got afraid that if what he's saying is true, judgment's going to come to us. And so they got saved. They bought their stuff. They confessed. They said, look, we're out of this business. We're saved here. We're going to follow the Lord. Let's get this stuff. Let's bring all this stuff together and let's publicly burn it all. I want everybody to see. Hey, we're different. We're changed. This stuff is no good. It's gone. It's done. It's over. We're different. And the Bible says, and so mightily mightily, it says, grew the word of God and prevailed. Why? More people took up arms for God. If I can get people to stop their foolishness and burn their curious heart, they can pick up the book and start going out for God and start battling. Amen. And so now as they get rid of stuff, they can pick up the book and start being a battler for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they can pick up arms, man. What a blessing it is to see how this turned. I wouldn't have written this way. I would have had Paul attend to the old man and got him a demon cast out of him. But that's not the way God did things. God said, leave that story alone. You don't worry about that story. Concern yourself with this story. When people get saved, there should be a change. When people get saved, they should come and confess. When people get saved, some things need to go and some things need to come in. And when that happens, so mightily prevailed the word of God. Amen. The next section we're going to see down here, we're going from magnifying the mess. Next time we're going to look at, and now it's going to be more about money. More about money. Does money make the world go around? Yeah, it does. It does, unfortunately. And the next section that we're going to come across here, it's going to be more about money than anything else. They're going to try to blame it on the goddess Diana, but it's more about them making money off of people buying the goddess Diana. And they're going to use that to counter on Paul and his party to try to stamp out the gospel once again. So Paul's going to be up against it again. Even after this great working of God here happens, he moves on and finds some other things happen. And so it's going to be interesting how this all turns and makes a turn for the worse, it would seem, for Paul and his party. But as of right now, mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. And Paul has got to sit back and say, praise God. The perpetrators have been found out. People got saved. Hallelujah. Praise God. God's good all the time. And all the time, God's good. Until the next time when the devil rears his head up. Amen. And so if you can learn anything from this, folks, let's make sure that we keep a clean house. Things that we don't need to have, get rid of those things. And make sure that if your children bring home things that are inappropriate, be able to explain to them why it's inappropriate. And why it has no place in the Christian's home. Because they're going to bring home some things that are inappropriate. The cross of Nero is just one that most kids think that it's just. My wife even bought a shirt that had the cross of Nero on it. And we couldn't tell because the design was so big. And it wasn't until we saw faith coming at a distance. We saw, is that our daughter? What in the world she got on? And we had bought it in the store and didn't even see it in the store because the design was camouflage. But from a distance, you could see it. I thought, man, take her off. Get that shirt off of you. Get that off. Now, she was only about 3 years old at the time. But nonetheless, and that matters not. I'm still being a representative for the devil when I'm supposed to be a witness for the Lord. And I said, look, let's take that off. We don't need that. And so we had to publicly burn that thing. And so mightily grew the word of the Lord. Amen. Take that home with you tonight. Amen. Certain things that you may need to look at that your children possess. Maybe it's on a shirt. Maybe it's on a bag. Maybe it's on this or that or the other. But make sure that we're taking these things together and publicly letting everybody in the family know, hey, look, this is why we're doing this. This is why. And letting them know. This is why. We're not being mean. We're not trying to be spiteful. We're not trying to, be holier than thou. This is not helpful for us. This is not helpful. And then just get rid of it. Simple as that. Amen. And you'd be surprised what God will do. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Amen. We're going to be dismissed in a word of prayer. Amen. We will be leaving shortly after the service. So if you need to speak with me, please hang around and speak with me. And we'll be leaving out after everybody's gone. Brother Hall, if you could ask God's blessings on our service, brother. And